Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
We live in a day and age where recycling has become a big part of our society. How many recyclers do we have in the house? How many of you would say, I am a recycler? I'm looking for my wife's hand. She's out there somewhere. Oh, there she is. There she is. Raising her hand. Yeah, that's my wife. She's cool. She's a recycler. She's a recycler. I'm not the recycler of the family. I'm quite the opposite, really. I don't really think about the things that I'm supposed to recycle. Yesterday, we went out to lunch, and we're sitting there. And when I go out to eat, it's kind of this time for me just to, I have a mission. And my mission is to consume that food as fast as possible and just to fill up my stomach, even though it's already full. I don't really care. I'll eat anyways. And so that's my mission. I don't really talk. I don't really look up. I kind of just, I'm focused. And so we're sitting there, we're having lunch, and she stops, and I see that she has stopped eating. She looks at me, and she says, you know, they really could compost these plates, but I bet you they don't. And I'm thinking, I'm like, that's your concern right now? My concern is the fact that I can start to see my plate, because that means that I'm running out of food and my mission is almost over. That's my concern. So my wife, she's the recycler of the family. I am not. But recycling, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I saw this ad for recycling a few weeks ago that had a plastic water bottle on it, and it said, I want to be a bicycle, recycle me. And I'm looking at this, I'm at a red light, just parked looking at this, and I'm like thinking, I'm like, that's dumb. Yeah, what kid is going to go to mom or dad on Christmas and be like, Mom, I really want a plastic bicycle that's been recycled out of a water bottle. Please, just if you're going to give me one gift, give me that. And I'm like, you know what else is really dumb? A talking water bottle. A water bottle's not sitting there thinking, recycle me. And then I thought, you know what? I'm really dumb. I'm putting way too much thought into this while I'm at this red light. So I kind of just move forward with my day. But recycling has become a big part of our culture and society. It's a good thing. And we all kind of recycle in one way, shape, or form or another. We sell things at garage sales instead of throwing them away. We give things to thrift stores instead of throwing them away. We'll buy used things off of Craigslist to furnish our homes or whatever it is, just to give something another purpose. We repurpose things. And so we're all part of this recycling plan. And so you can even recycle, you can even repurpose things you never thought you could repurpose. I Googled like repurpose trash is what I did. And there's all kinds of things that people repurpose. I even saw somebody repurposed old keys. I bet you in your pockets right now, you probably have some keys that don't fit any door locks and they haven't for 20 years, but you keep them on there for some weird reason. And so you have these keys and what they did was they hung the key up on the wall and they bent the key. So now the old key hangs keys. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. The key's gone full circle. It's now holding up its old buddies. This is cool. And so it's been repurposed. And so we repurpose things that have been worn out, used up, and they just don't have any more life left into them. Well, I'm going to show you a video of something that I had repurposed once, and we shot this video like 7 or 8 years ago. It's the pre-HD days, so it's a little rough and grainy, but check out a time of some friends of mine and I when we repurposed a old little kid's tricycle we found in the trash.
Here's the death of Chris, part two.
I broke the thing.
Oh gosh, Chris.
Try it on the tricycle.
Oh my gosh.
No wheels.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh yeah.
He's like limping.
Look at this. We hit a dip throughout the knee, throughout the front wheel at the same time. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm done.
No wheelage action.
Oh, my leg hurt.
And that was the start of my knee pain right there. I don't do those things anymore. And I'm the guy who teaches your junior high students. So I don't teach them to do that, though. But if they came to me and they needed some help, I would point them in the right direction. But repurposing, it's kind of a big part of this recycling cycle, and it's a really cool thing. This morning, I want to talk to you about recycling. I'm not talking about what you should do with your plastic water bottles and all that stuff. What I want to talk to you about is that we as Christians, we who are God's people, God's children, have or have gone through, are going through a recycling process. God is there to do a new thing in us. He's there to repurpose our lives. We don't always feel that way, though. Some of us have been exposed to some pretty traumatic, life-changing events, leaving us feeling just broken. Some of us constantly reminded of the flaws we might have from maybe a spouse or a boss. Some of us just feel worthless. Some of us reminded how much of a loser we are when we see we don't have many friends. Some of us really just plagued and always focusing on the sin that we have, doubting that God can take it away. And all these things allow Satan some success. We have experienced these seasons, and we want to see them as trash. We want to see them as things that we don't ever want to think about again. We don't want to revisit them. We don't really want to claim them as part of our lives. We kind of just want to throw them out. But those things that we see as trash, God sees, and he says, I am going to use this. I am going to redeem this part of your life. And this morning, if you are experiencing that kind of season, or if you experience a season like that, or maybe you're in the calm before the storm, I want you to know that God has a recycling plan. I want you to know that he is out there for you. He has a plan for you and I. This process that God has to do in the lives of us. And this morning, I want to talk about this process. I want you to know that God has redeemed you and I as his people. He's repurposed us for a new life. And because of the redemption and the repurposing, God wants us to thrive as his people. If you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43 this morning. So please turn there. All right, here's what it says. It says, starting in verse 1, it says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And if you can skip over to verse 18, God says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So let me give you a little background on what's been going on here. Israel, they've been in captivity. They've been in captivity in Babylon. They've been held captive, and God has allowed them to be held captive there because in chapter 42, it talks about their disobedience. It talks about how they have been spiritually deaf and spiritually blind to the things that God has been telling them and showing them. So he has allowed them, based on their disobedience, to be in captivity in Babylon. But here is Israel being promised by God not to fear, and God is telling Israel that he has a plan. And this is a recycling plan that will bring hope and is going to allow them to thrive. Israel is in captivity. The first thing that we read here is that God wants to remind them of who they are. God says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, God said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. You see, Israel is in captivity. They're in this state where they were hurting, they were feeling alone, they were feeling scared, abandoned, broken. And this is a common feeling that we all can relate to in one way or another. We start to think back to our seasons of Babylon. We start to think back to what we're going through right now. And here in Isaiah, Israel is reminded to stop worrying, stop fearing, stop freaking out, stop feeling that way. God says he has redeemed them. He reminds the people who they are. He says, I created you. I created you. And he says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. He's saying, stop freaking out because I have redeemed you. You see, God was revealing his plan for his people, recycling. When it comes to recycling, there's this thing called the California Redemption Value. You see that printed on your bottles and cans, a CRV. And what you do with that bottle or can, it allows you to go ahead and take that somewhere, and you can choose to redeem it for something else, to exchange it for money. It's a process that you get to choose to do that. And ultimately, here in California, you're just reclaiming that what already belongs to you. You've already paid that CRV, and you're getting your money back if you choose to. Now, one of the things that we see here is that God reminds his people who they are. He says, I've created you, I've formed you, and he says, I have redeemed you. He has started the recycling process by choosing to take back what is his. He chooses to do that. He chose to recycle a group of people who disobeyed, a group of people who didn't deserve it, and he said, I choose to redeem you. So he chose to start the process of recycling through this thing called redemption. So like Israel, we all can relate to them as we have all been redeemed. And like Israel, we can all relate to them because we have experienced a season of captivity. We all have experienced such seasons. If you think about your life and the places you've been, the things that you've gone through, you can think about a season where you felt captive to something, where you felt alone, where you felt scared, where you felt broken, hurt, you name it, you've been there. There was a season in my life where I went through a Babylon, a season where I couldn't see light at the end of the tunnel, a season where I questioned if there even was light. And I just started out pastoring. I was like a year into pastoring. And I felt alone, even as a pastor, even as a follower of Jesus, I went through this season of Babylon. where my world was broken, where I was crushed, where I felt alone, scared, and worried, just like Israel, just like some of you are experiencing right now. So like Israel, we all have gone or have gone through a Babylon, but like Israel, you have to go through it knowing that God has redeemed this time. What you want to forget, what you want to just throw out in the trash, God says, I have redeemed you. And it's a time where you get to experience God's plan for you. It's nothing you want to just throw out. This is an amazing season in your life. God's plan for you. Now, I'm not saying that God caused your life to be miserable. I'm not saying that God caused your life to fall apart because of some disobedience. What I am saying is that God will redeem you during this season. It's not over. And if we read on, we see after God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. God says, I have called you by your name. He says, I have called you by your name. And names, they're a pretty special thing, aren't they? Aren't they? How many of you are good at remembering people's names? One and a half. They're on the fence over there. Two, three. Three of you in a room of about 900 people. Three of you are good at remembering people's names. How many more like a face person? You can remember people's faces. That's me. I'm a good face person. Big deal. Big deal. Because what you're saying is, you know what? I can tell you that I've seen those two eyes that you have, and I've seen a nose and a face and a mouth on this round thing we call a head. And at some place, some point in time in my life, I've seen your face. Big deal. There's nothing special about remembering your face. I'm sorry. If you pride yourself on being a face person, there's nothing special about it. We're not special people. There's a dry cleaners that I go to, and he has his dry cleaners right behind my parents' house, and so I'm familiar with the neighborhood. And every once in a while, I need something dry cleaned, I would go, and I go like once every 4 months because I don't really dress all that nice, as you could see. But I go and I drop off my clothes. I've never been there before, and he takes my name down and my number, and he calls me when they're ready. I go and I pick him up. I come back another 4 months later, and I walk through the door. He's like, "Hey, Chris, how you doing?" My mind was blown away. This guy remembered my name. It wasn't, "Hey, I've seen your face here before." It was, "Hey, I remember your name." And the only reason why I continue to go there is because he remembered my name. It's true. He might be charging me an arm and a leg. I don't care. But he remembered my name. That's a big deal. Names are a very special thing, especially when you're going through a time of Babylon, especially when you feel like everyone's forgotten who you are. And God says to these people, he says, "I have called you by your name." And that's an amazing thing. And God knows how to make his people feel special. He knows how to make them feel wanted. He knows that they needed that connection. He says, "I have called you by name." And if we read on after that, he says, "I have called you by your name." He says, "You are mine. You are mine." You're in the season of captivity. You're in the season of you're scared. You're in the season of concern. And God says, not only have I called you by your name, but you are mine. Think about how much that must have felt. And to be claimed here implies that there's a relationship, and it's special. It's God saying that they are his people. They belong to him. I have three siblings. I'm the oldest of four. And as long as I can remember, and when any sibling did one thing that was dumb, we would go to the other sibling and be like, "Did you hear what your brother just did? Can you believe the things that your sister said to mom and dad? Can you believe that your brother pushed the other brother into the wall?" These are all things that have happened. But the thing is whenever we had those conversations of one sibling doing a dumb thing, we didn't want to claim that it wasn't my brother. That's your brother. That's your sister. Because they did something dumb. They're not related to me. I don't do dumb things, clearly by my video. But the thing here is, you have Israel, who just got done disobeying God, who were in the season of captivity because of God, and God still said to them, "You are mine." He claimed them as his even during that time. We'll read this verse to you out of Psalms 100. It says, in verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." I love that part. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Not only do we belong to God, but we get to reside where he resides. We get to hang out where he hangs out. And he says that we are his. We're not just some people following him around. He says, "No, you guys are mine." God's recycling plan begins with being redeemed and reclaimed, even though you might feel right now like an empty bottle. You might feel all used up. You might feel like you have nothing left to give. You might feel all worn out. But recycling doesn't just end with redemption or redemption value. Recycling actually occurs when something is repurposed, when it's turned into something else. And if we read on to verse 18 and 19, we start to see that. When God said, he said, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing," God says. A few years ago, I tore my ACL snowboarding. It was lame. And I had to do surgery and then 6 months of physical therapy. Well, while I was in physical therapy, I got the chance finally to be able to like move faster than actually walking. And so I'm running on this treadmill or like a light jog, and my physical therapy guy, he tells me, he's like, "Chris, you're running the wrong way." I'm like, "What are you talking about? I ran my whole life this way. You know, what do you mean I'm running the wrong way?" He says, "You put too much weight on your back heels." He's like, "That's going to give you knee pain over time." And so I thought, wow, you know, I didn't know that. And so now I try, and when I do run, I try and jog more on my toes and the fronts rather than the back. But I had to learn how to do it a new way. Otherwise, I was going to hurt myself. And we see here, God says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." He's saying, hey, stop worrying about how you used to do it. Stop worrying about how things used to be and start focusing on something new. But the thing here is you have to look at Israel and think about where they are at and where they have been. And when you look at them, you start to realize that they are excited because they've been in captivity. They are so excited to know that God is on their side. They're so excited to know that God has them as redeemed and God has them in his hands and that they are God's people. And so they are amped. They are so excited about what is God going to do. And they probably start thinking about this idea of what God can do, what he has done in the past. You have to remember where they've been. They were once held in captivity in Egypt. And so they're probably thinking, God's going to raise up another Moses. He's going to raise up another leader. And that leader is going to get us out of here. And that leader is going to lead us to a sea where that leader will part the sea and we will cross again, and God will allow the sea to come crashing down on the Babylonians. And their mind is racing with this idea and they're excited. God says, hey, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Why? God, you did an amazing thing. You want me to forget that? You want me to move on from that? God says, yes. Because our answer is why? We see that in verse 19 when God says, "Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You see, God said, "I'm not repetitive. I'm not predictable. I will do a new thing." Our God, that's who he is. This is the same God that we serve today. He's not repetitive. He's not predictable. Our God is fresh, always doing new things, always up to these new ideas. But it's hard for a new thing to come about when we are stuck on the way things used to be. So I've been married a little over a year. And if I was always bringing things up to my wife, and I'd be like, well, Kat, I had this ex-girlfriend that every time I got off work, she brought me over a pack of Skittles. So when I get off work, if you can bring me over a pack of Skittles, that would be amazing. And Kat, I had this other girlfriend that whenever she saw me, she's like, "Chris, you're like the most shredded and ripped guy I've ever seen. So, hey, Kat, whenever you see me, if you could just tell me that, I would appreciate it." She's shaking her head at me right now. I would be asking for World War III. I would just be asking for the battle of my life, because what I'm trying to do is bring something old the way that it used to be into something new, and it's not supposed to be that way. You see, how can my marriage grow and succeed and turn into what it's supposed to be if I'm looking for the things of the past, if I'm relying on the things of the past to enter into something new? Now, I bring that up because if you are stuck in a Babylon time, if you are stuck, you might be stuck because you're looking for to God to recreate things exactly how they used to be, wanting him to just make your life exactly how it used to be, and you are there, and God's trying to say to you, stop thinking of the old things, nor consider the old things. I am trying to do something new, but you're not allowing me to. You see, you're sitting there trying to predict what God's next move is, trying to have a God who's repetitive, and it's not happening, and so you're feeling like, I am stuck here. Well, you're stuck there because of you. God says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. And he was sure enough about to do a new thing in Israel. But if we are to be part of God's recycling plan, we not only have to realize that we have been redeemed, but if we want to be repurposed, then we need to get ready for that. We need to get ready for the repurposing and not expect God to be repetitive or predictable, because he is not. The beautiful thing about repurposing is opposite of predictability. It's opposite of something being repetitive. What's so exciting about a plastic water bottle being recycled in another plastic water bottle? There's nothing exciting about that. What's so exciting about an aluminum can being turned into another aluminum can? Nothing. What's exciting about you experiencing turmoil or stress only for you to be the exact same person again? Nothing. Our God is exciting. Repurposing is the most exciting and thrilling moment of recycling. And we should be anticipating what God is going to do with this process, not expecting that he will make a repeat of what he's done before, but anticipating something new. And so God tells Israel that he will do a new thing, and it will spring forth. And he paints this picture of the things that he can do. He says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And in verse 20, he goes on to say, the beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give them waters in the desert, or waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. God paints this picture of the things that he can do. And when you read this, Israel's just like, mind is being blown right now. Something they hadn't even imagined. God is saying that I can do this. We used to take our junior high students to the summer camp, and we would get there on a Sunday, and so we'd be there for a whole week. And Sunday, they had what they called their camp opener. And it was this time when they spent most of their budget, most of their time planning this 10-minute show for the kids. This 10 minutes where the kids would get engaged, and they'd be so excited about the thing that they had just seen, they can't wait for the entire week. And so I was excited about this one particular year because they're going to do this Jurassic Park theme. And I grew up watching Jurassic Park. I wanted to be Dr. Grant. You know, I wanted all that stuff. It was awesome. I had Jurassic Park toys. I loved it. And so this Jurassic Park theme, I'm there. I'm all excited with the kids. And then nighttime rolls around. The camp opener is about to happen. Well, we're all standing in front of this giant wall that they just made. And then lights all go dark. And then this giant dinosaur comes busting through the wall. It looked like Steven Spielberg himself teamed up with Walt Disney to make this thing. It was huge. It was like animatronic. It was moving around, roaring at the kids, and I'm going nuts. I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And the kids are like, and I'm like, you guys are lame. But I'm like going crazy about this. I'm going crazy. And I go to Jonathan, and Jonathan and I were friends, and he's the camp director. I'm like, Jonathan, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, how did you do it? Like, I don't understand how next year you could beat this. And then so camp's over, and we go home, and we're going back the next year. I'm all excited. I'm like, oh, man, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And we get there, and they do this Tron light show where they have, like, this blue laser pointer, and the blue laser pointer can blow up black balloons. And I'm just like, this is, like, out of Iron Man. And, I'm like, this is amazing. I'm going nuts. And the kids are like, kids. But anyways, but I'm going crazy over this show, and I'm all excited. I'm like, you just blew up a balloon with a laser pointer, and you're dancing around this black light thing. It was so cool. And I'm going crazy. I'm like, Jonathan, this is incredible. How did you do this? How can you beat this? And he looks at me, he's like, Chris, that's what you said to me last year. Look what I just did. I'm like, all right, man, all right. So a year goes by, we go back up to camp, and I'm driving up the mountain. I'm like, oh, man, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? I'm all excited. And we get there, and they have, like, this live-action show. They built this outdoor stage, and all the kids are, like, kind of sitting away from the stage. I go, I'm, like, front row. I'm, like, pushing kids out of my way. I'm like, I want to see this. And so I'm, like, the only one in the very front, and I'm watching this live-action show, and the whole, like, cast is pretending to shoot each other these guns and these real-life sound effects. And then at one point, this guy, Jonathan, he lights his arms on fire. I kid you not. I mean, these things are flaming. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is insane. I could have never imagined that I would be at a summer camp where a guy would light himself on fire. And then he goes and he runs and he, like, swan dives into this little lake. And I'm just like, whoa, my mind has been blown. I had no idea that you could do this kind of stuff. And so I tell you that story, and I get really excited about the story, because if you are in Babylon, get ready for God to be God. Get ready for God just to blow your mind for the things that you can't imagine. And let me tell you this, you are not broken. You are not abandoned. You are not lost. You are not forgotten. You are redeemed. And because you're redeemed, God is going to repurpose you. And when he does, your mind will be blown, because you could not have imagined the things that God had planned for you. But I think at the beginning of being repurposed while going through Babylon, we can't help but feel like this is the end, like this is over, like my glory days are behind me, like I have nothing left. But I believe that God has repurposing as part of his recycling plan for a reason. And I began to think about your Babylon. I began to think about the things that you, sitting in a chair, might be going through right now. Maybe you're unemployed. Maybe you're underemployed. You can't buy your wife or your kids the things that you want to do. Maybe you lost custody of a child in a divorce settlement. Maybe you've got an unplanned pregnancy. Your car got repossessed last week. You lost your husband, boyfriend, wife, girlfriend. You lost your home. And I thought long and hard about what repurposing could specifically look like to the unemployed. What repurposing could specifically look like to the person who just lost their home or their child or a relationship. And I prayed. I was like, Lord, just reveal that to me. Just please show me. And yesterday in a Starbucks, I was sitting there listening to music and just trying to study and prepare for this and get into this part. And I felt God telling me, he's like, Chris, you are nobody to blow people's minds. You are nobody to tell them about those plans. You can't think outside the box. And it was at the moment that I realized that he's right. I'm nobody to try and predict what he's going to do. I am nobody to try and repeat some idea that I already have in my mind to you about what God's going to do during this repurposing. I don't know what repurposing specifically looks like for you, but I do know that when it does happen, your mind will be blown away. You have no idea the things that God has in store for you. And I do know that he has a plan, and his plan is recycling. And I do know at the heart of every Babylon, we lost something. We get to Babylon because something has been pried away from our lives. We might have lost a job, a family member, a relationship, a home. And those are all hard things. But I'm here to tell you right now, based on going through my own Babylon, that there is a plan that God has, and it is real, and it is true, and God will repurpose you. And when he does, get ready. Get ready to sit there and just be blown away and get ready to break down. Because it's going to happen. You're going to break down because you're going to start to see when you were handed each one of those puzzle pieces that was blank during your time of Babylon, you were expected to put it together somehow. And you don't understand how they fit together. You didn't understand what the picture is supposed to be. And you get to this end of this recycling process and you put the puzzle together and the picture's revealed to you as to what that repurposing was for and what he did. It will all make sense. I do know this other thing about being in Babylon. It's that even though while we are there, experiencing or trying to experience a transformation cannot happen until we've called upon the name of God. And God makes that clear in this chapter. In verse 22 of chapter 43, God says, "But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel." See, God is saying, this transformation, this thing that I want to do for you, it can't happen until you call upon me. It can't happen until you go ahead and reach out to God and say, God, I need you in this. I can't do this alone. Part of the repurposing is experiencing God for who God is. And I believe it goes back to the beginning, the process, the beginning of recycling, the process of reclaiming and redeeming. God tells us that we are his, but during repurposing, we have to get to the place. We've got to get to the place where we know and feel we are his. We can listen to it all day long. But if we don't know it or feel it or acknowledge that it's there, it'll be lost. It'll be lost. You see, when you're going through the time of Babylon and something's been stripped away from you, you feel like you lost your identity. You lost your identity of maybe being a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a homeowner, employed, whatever it is. Your identity isn't that. Your identity has got to rest in, we are God's people. I am God's child. I am his. And that happens during the repurposing part of this cycle. And for me, when I went through time of Babylon, when I was finally able to experience that and know that I am God's and feel that I am God's child, it was at that moment that I realized I don't need any other identity. I don't need anything else. And then my mind was blown away when I started to see the things that God had for my life, when he started to show me who I'm supposed to be in repurposing my life. I want to close with one last verse in the Bible. John chapter 10, verse 10. And this is Jesus talking. And Jesus said, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Other translations say, "Have it abundantly." You see, it's so easy to be in your time of captivity. It's so easy to be in Babylon and have part of what God is trying to do in your life be stolen or destroyed. Don't let Satan, don't let others, don't let yourself get stuck in this pity, this remorse, this woe is me, because what you're doing is you are allowing things to be stolen and destroyed. This work that God is trying to do in your life, you are allowing it to be destroyed and just taken away. And like I said, that could be That certainly can be Satan. That certainly can be you being stuck in woe is me. That certainly can be your friends influencing you. I want to leave you with this, though. When we first started our time together this morning, I told you, I want you to know that God has redeemed us as his, repurposed us for new life. And I said, and because of the redemption and repurposing, God wants us to thrive. But we haven't talked about the thriving part. We talked about redemption. We talked about repurposing. And I believe that's where John 10:10 comes in. When we don't allow the thief to come and rob and destroy, Jesus is there to not only get us through the recycling process, but Jesus said he was there to not only give us life, but to have it to the full, to have it abundantly, to be able to thrive. You see, God's plan for his people doesn't just include survival. Because when we get to Babylon, we get in survival mode. It becomes this, if I can just get to the weekend, if I can just make it to the first of the month, if I can just get to summer vacation, if I can just beat this sickness, and what you're really saying is if I can just survive. God's plan for you and I isn't just to survive. Jesus told us that we will have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. When you start to experience God's recycling plan of redemption and repurpose, it is then that our minds will be blown, and we get to not only survive, but we get to thrive according to his plan. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we come before you. I thank you that you have a plan. I thank you that you're a God of order. You're a God of amazing ideas. You're a God who repurposes what we would consider to be trash, situations we want to forget, seasons we don't want to count as part of our lives. Lord, you have said that you have redeemed us as yours, and you want to make those seasons mean something to us. Lord, I pray for all those in this room right now who are going through a time of Babylon, who are going through a time of questioning, a time of being alone and scared. Lord, I pray that you just comfort them right now. Lord, I pray that you just reveal a little bit more of yourself and that they truly call upon your name. Lord, I just pray for this congregation and the things that we have gone through or are going through. Lord, we thank you for them. It's crazy to thank you for the hard times and the Babylons, Lord, but thank you that you don't let those seasons go to waste, but you repurpose them. Lord, and we just give you who we are. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.